In Luke chapter 15, there's a story of two young men, and I want to talk about both of these young men a little bit today. The story is often known as the story of the prodigal son. It's a parable, and Jesus oftentimes told stories. And because we all like to hear a story, that seemed to capture the people's attention. But he didn't tell a story just to tell a story. The stories he told always had some kind of a spiritual meaning to them, something that we can take and learn from that would help us in our own lives. So in verse number 11 of Luke 15, the Bible says, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divideth unto them his living." If you'll notice, that word "father" in that verse is capitalized, and the reason it's capitalized is on purpose, because this isn't just a story about two boys and their relationship with their dad. The father in this story represents God, and the two boys can represent two types of people and some of the decisions that each and every one of us have to make in this life. And so we see then that in verse 13, the Bible says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." So one young man wanted something from the father, and then he wanted what he felt like he deserved, and then he took off and left the presence of his father, and soon his life began to spiral downward. Now let me just say this, folks, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but anytime somebody begins to head away from God, things don't get better, they always get worse. And let me say this, anytime somebody makes the decision to head towards God, things may not get better overnight, but I promise you, they are not going to keep getting worse, they are going to start getting better. One of the questions I like to ask somebody is this: if you put God into something, is it going to be better or worse? If you take God out of something, is it going to be better or worse? And we're going to see that illustrated in this story. See, and now notice what happened in verse 14. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So he went downhill, he spent all that he had, all that his father had gave him. He came to poverty, and then a famine came. And then next thing you know, he hires himself out at the only job he can find, and that is taking care of some pigs. And the man did not even have the money to feed him for that. He said, 'Your pay is to fight with the pigs and see if you can get some of what I'm feeding them.'" That was where he ended up. What a horrible place to land. And then it says in verse 17, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" Now I want you to notice the reaction of the father here. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Now there's a second son, verse 25. "Now his elder son was in the field." This is the son that did not leave. He did not make a bad decision. He stayed with the father. But I want you to notice that even though he did right by staying with the father, he had a horrible attitude when it came to watching the younger son return and make things right with the father. And the Bible says, verse 26, "He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry. It would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. I'm going to give you what I believe is a good, accurate interpretation of this parable, and just give you in the next 15, 16 minutes some things that I hope will be a help in your life. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. I believe that both of these sons, since they are identified in this parable as sons of the Father, I believe, and I know some preachers might differ with me, but I believe that this is talking about two saved people. And you know what? Just because you've gotten saved does not mean that that's the last decision that you'll make concerning your relationship with God. I've watched people that get saved, I believe genuinely saved, and for a while they are faithful to God and seem to be in fellowship with God. But the world begins to look attractive to them, and pretty soon they take what they can from the Father and they wander away. And like I said a minute ago, then we begin to see acted out for us the results of that bad decision. But let me say this, just because you have never wandered away from the Father, maybe you haven't ever gone prodigal or backslid, you can be wrong with God while you're with God. And we see that in the elder son because, yes, it's heartbreaking when one of God's children wanders away or backslides or gets out of the will of God. But when they do come back, there ought to be rejoicing in the church house. There ought to be an excitement about them being here and coming. And so we want to all see if we can learn some lessons today. Now, let me first of all talk to you about the prodigal son just a little bit. Let me tell you what I think was the primary problem, the primary sin. The Bible tells us that we see two different things that this younger son says. If you'll notice verse number 12, the Bible says, "And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Give me. Give me." That was his attitude, give me. But you know what? When he gets right with God, he comes back and he repents. And he says verse number 19, "And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Now, if you look in verse number 12, where he says, "Give me," and then you'll look in verse number 19, where he said, "Make me," you ought to underline those two things. You know, before somebody goes prodigal, their attitude is give me. You know, selfishness will always lead a person away from God. When you get to the point where you're more interested in what you can get than what God can make you to be, then you're going to wander away from God. You see, he wanted something from the Father, and he wanted it not in God's time or the Father's time. He wanted it in his time. And sometimes somebody gets saved, and you know what? They think just because they get saved that all of their problems ought to go away and everything ought to just turn to roses and they ought to experience instant prosperity. And well, that's why I got saved. One of the reasons I got saved, I thought maybe when I got saved, everything would go right, everything would go well. But you know what? That's not the way it always happens. Matter of fact, let me just say this. If you get saved, yes, you've made God happy, but you've made the devil angry. And it seems like a lot of times when somebody gets saved, just the opposite happens because Satan will try to do everything he can to discourage you. And it's not very long if you're not careful. You'll say, well, this isn't what I thought it would be. This isn't what I thought it would be cracked up to be. And it's easy if you're thinking about what you should get out of the relationship with God instead of what God is going to do with you, then it's easy to get disillusioned. Be careful about selfishness. The Bible says in the last days, there's going to be certain types of sins that are prevalent on the earth. And the very first one it lists is this: men shall become lovers of their own selves. And it seems like any time we get concerned about what we ought to have or us first, that attitude always takes you away from God. But when somebody dies to self, and says, you know what, this isn't about me. This is about God and his will, and whatever that will is, I need to be content with it. That kind of attitude always takes you towards God. I always worry when I watch a young person or a teenager and they start getting very selfish. I start worrying about that. You say, oh, preacher, they're all that way. No, they're really not. Now, I know we all have a tendency to be that way. But I can also tell you this. I've seen a lot of young people that really think very little about themselves, and their heart is turned towards others and what's best for others and how to reach others and the good for others. When I see a young person in that frame of mind, I feel like they're in a safe place. You know what? Because they don't think it's all about them. They understand that the will of God and the ways of God, it has to do with helping others and living for others and not what you can have or what you can get or what you can do for you. And so, number one, watch out for selfishness. Now, let me give you the second great lesson here that we read from the parable of the prodigal son. Sin's pleasures only last for a season. Now, I want you to notice that at first, I'm sure this younger son probably thought, man, I've made the right decision here. He went to his father. He said, I want my inheritance now. The father gave him his inheritance. And at first, it looked like, man alive, this is the life. Because the Bible says in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. So he did have a period of time where, you know what, he partied and he had a good time. And you know what, that's the way the world is. Listen, if you show up and you got money and you're paying for stuff, you're going to have all the friends you can find. But the minute your luck turns, the minute you fall on hard times, where are those friends? Where is the world after they've taken everything they can get from you? And all of a sudden you're of no use to them anymore. Now, be careful, because sin always, it seems like, has, the Bible says, pleasure, but the pleasure is just for a season. Now, no matter how great the parties, or loud the music, or tasty the meats, or sweet the wine, or merry the companions, or how enjoyable the pleasures, you notice what happened when the substance ran out. The famine came, and then he was in want. Now, God's timing is impeccable. When he had spent all, a famine came. Listen, you can come, you can go from being the king of the party to the keeper of the pigs in just a heartbeat. It's amazing how fast, how quickly. It seems like you got it all under control, and I don't need God, and I'm out here living my life, and I've got it all under control, and I'm successful, and I've got this, and I've got that. But you know what? Listen, folks, sin has a price. It always has a price. There's always a payday down the road somewhere. Now, preacher, why are you teaching this? I'm trying to encourage some of you that are with the Father to stay with the Father. But preacher, every once in a while I look back at the old life and it just seems like it's calling me. Well, listen, just ignore it. Because there's nothing there in the world. Sometimes when we raise young people up and they were born into Christian families and sheltered from the world, and sometimes they're in a Christian school and they don't know a whole lot about the world, their curiosity begins to work on them and they think, I wonder what it's really like out there. Listen, if you were raised that way, just stay that way. There's nothing the world has to offer you, anything but heartache and misery. Listen, you go out and chase all that the world has and you're going to find out at the end of that time, there's always a bitter pill. There's always heartache and sadness. And sin has pleasure. Yeah, it has some pleasure, but it always just lasts for a very short amount of time. Now, we find the prodigal then comes to the very end. And you know what? He's lost everything. He's lost the relationship with the father. He's spent all the money that he had. Now he's in a pig pen. Now, I want to talk to you about this. How did he get back to the Father then? Preacher, if you get away from God and you end up in this situation, I don't know who I'm talking to here. Like I said, there's a lot of you that I don't know. I mean, if you put me on the spot, I don't know your name. I don't know if I've ever seen you, ever met you. And so I don't know your life story. So I don't know where you're at. But let me just say this. In my lifetime in the ministry, I've helped a lot of people that have gotten away from God get back to God. And you know what? That's a privilege. That's an honor. You say, preacher, I shouldn't have gotten away in the first place. Well, you can't get in a time machine and change it. So you've got to just go from where you're at. And if you're away from God, the best thing to do to help yourself get back on track is turn around and head back towards God. You say, oh, well, but I've messed up so bad. You know what? God doesn't want me. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. That's a lie of the devil. That is, you don't hear that kind of an attitude from God. You won't find anywhere in the Bible where God has that attitude towards somebody that's down and out and done. I don't care, y'all preacher, but if you knew what I've done in my life, you wouldn't even want me in your church here. If I always say this to folks that are busy, and they'll come in and they'll look around and see some of the Christian people that are regulars here and members here, and they kind of look a little polished, and they look around thinking, oh, I don't fit in here. And man, listen, if you knew what the past of some of our church members sitting around here, I'm not sure you'd want to be here. I ought to warn you about some of the people that are sitting around you right now. Hey, not everybody that looks like they had their act together now have always had their act together. Right. Not everybody that's close to God now have always been close to God. And the honest truth is, there are very few Christians. Now, I'm proud of the ones. I don't want to diminish the importance of staying tight with God and right with God. But there's not too many Christians that don't go through some period of backsliding, some period in their life of being a prodigal. I'm just telling you, maybe they don't physically leave. Sometimes they just leave in their heart. And sometimes they leave altogether. But I'm going to tell you this. You show me any Christian that have gotten away from God that says to me, preacher, you think God would want me back? I can tell you right now, He's been waiting for you ever since you left. And did you see the reaction of the father? You know, he didn't say, okay, here he comes. I'm going to sit here on the front porch and I'm going to make him crawl every inch. No, that's not the father. And that might be some of the Pharisees. That might be, I'm sad to say this, and I hope it's not true here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And if I think it's true, and if I know it's true, I'm going to do something about it, because I don't want, that ought not be the attitude of God's people. You know, we ought to be brokenhearted when somebody leaves the presence of God. And you know what? We ought to be right there in the middle of the party when they come back. I never did that. Well, you know what? You haven't lived all your life yet. You better be careful what you go bragging about. You don't know where you might end up one of these days. But I want to show you something, folks. How does somebody get back? How does somebody get back? And if you'll notice, if you will, verse number 17. And when this first phrase here is so important. And when he came to himself. Now you ought to underline that. Now let me tell you how a lot of times people get backslidden or they get away from God. They start doing wrong, but they start blaming everybody else in the world for why they're doing wrong. Well, if my mom and dad had done different, if my brother had done different, this Christian, if the preacher had done a little different, if this had happened different. Now, as long as you're blaming somebody else for the decisions you've made, you're never going to get back to the Father. Because you know what repentance is? You know how repentance starts? Repentance starts when somebody comes to themselves. Now, you can sit in the pig pen the rest of your life and say, well, the reason I'm here is because of, but that's not going to get you out of the pig pen. Now, come on. I'm not saying that maybe there aren't people in your life that could have done and should have done better. But you know what? Every one of us is going to stand before God and answer for ourselves. And you think this blame game stuff's going to work at the throne of grace, you got another thing coming. God's going to have me, Jerry Ross, give an account of myself to God. And I'm not going to walk up there and say, well, God, I know I didn't do this, but, God's going to say, hogwash. He's going to say, you know what? You decided for you. Now, you know what? You folks, every one of you here, and by the way, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to folks that made the right decision today. But you know what? You got up and you made the decision to come to church today. And there's folks that got up this morning and made the decision not to come to church. Now, they may in their mind say, well, the reason I'm not coming is because, baloney. The reason you're not coming is because you decided not to come. Tomorrow morning, you got a decision to make. You can get up and you can make the decision that you're going to sit down and open your Bible and read it. Or you're going to make the decision that you're not going to do that. Now, you can say, well, I would, but, you know, as long as you're blaming somebody. No, you decide for you. And I decide for me. And so what had to happen to this prodigal is he had to come to himself. He had to stop blaming everybody else for why he was where he was at. And he had to say, I have sinned. Now, part of this day that we're having here, I'm preaching really in our Sunday school hour more to Christians. And I don't know where you're at in your life. If you're a born-again Christian, you say, preacher, I am saved. But the honest truth is, There has been times that I've been a lot closer to the Father than I am right now. I hope that this Sunday in your life is a starting point where you begin to make your way back towards the Father. Stop listening to the devil. Oh, preacher, I've messed up so bad. No, stop listening to the devil. God loves you. You're His child. God wants you. He's waiting for you. He'll accept you. And by the way, every Christian that's right with God will be excited about you coming back. Okay? Now, I'm not going to say that there aren't a few Pharisees that will say a few things, but you can't listen to them anyway. Listen, you'll get yourself back into the same mindset that got you in the pig pen in the first place. You got to stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. You know what? The only person you need to be looking at? When you head back towards the Father, you watch Him come off that front porch. That father, the Bible said, ran towards that prodigal, fell on his neck, and began to kiss him and rejoice because he was on his way back. And the prodigal starts saying, no, I'm not worthy to be your son. And you know what? The father's like, hush, we're killing the fatted calf. We're having a party. You are my son. You've always been my son. I've just been waiting for you to come home. And some of you, maybe more than you might think in here, say, preacher, there was a time when the honest truth is I was pretty close to God and pretty right with God, and I was pretty faithful to church. And you know what? The honest truth is, you're right. Things were better back then than they are now. Do you think God would have me back? Oh, you better believe God would have you back. And I think God sent me to the pulpit this morning to start our morning with this Sunday school lesson to encourage you that no matter where you're at in your Christian life, you know what? If you'll turn around and head towards God, God will come running towards you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been able to spend here. And Lord, for our brief intermission, Lord, and then the service that will follow. I pray, Lord, as we sort things out, that you'll help everything to go well. Be with all of the different preaching services. And Lord, use the next hour from the 10:30 to the 11:30 hour. I pray that you'd use that hour, dear God, for our benefit, Lord. For our good, please, for your glory. And if there's anyone here, dear God, maybe they're a Christian, maybe they're saved, they have a salvation testimony, but Lord, they've drifted some away from you. I pray, dear God, I wanted so badly to be an encouragement. I don't want to be like one of those, the elder son that crosses his arm and clucks his tongue and shakes his head and looks down his nose. I don't want to be that kind of a person. I hope I came to the pulpit, Lord, to bring a message of encouragement. And Lord, I pray each and every one of us, dear God, would examine our relationship to you, even if we've drifted just a bit in the wrong direction. I pray that we'll turn quickly and head back to the Father. We pray in Jesus' name.